thrown off her booted feet and hurled into the thrashing waters, and like Jack, who'd been tossed forward down the narrow passageway and directly into the newly created hole in the bulkhead, Dean also went tumbling like a dropped bit of refuse into the ocean blue. Dean took blank note of how one of the toe tips of Christie's cowboy boots caught the light and flickered like a faraway star, a pale wink of blue, and gone before he fell into deep oblivion. JB was on an elevated mountain peak somewhere in Colorado, the air crisp in his lungs. When he exhaled, small clouds of steam puffed out. His glasses were slightly misted over with condensation from the heat of his body and the cool of the air. But when he reached to wipe them clean, he was perplexed to find he wasn't wearing his specs. The misty covering on his eyes that obscured his vision was coming from inside his own body. Triple strange to overheat from the inside. You'd have to ask Mildred about that. He might be getting sick, and even the mildest of infections could prove fatal in the uninhabitable Deathlands.
Hey, JB.
The armorer turned to take in the old man. The trader looked good. Damn good. Last time JB had seen his former mentor, the trader was showing his age and then some. Now he looked as healthy and robust as the day JB and he had first met, all those years ago, outside JB's boyhood home of Cripple Creek near the Rockies. The trader's grizzled salt-and-pepper hair stood on his scalp like an angry porcupine, and his big cigar was firmly clamped between his teeth. JB could smell the pungent scent of burning tobacco, and that too helped assure him of his friend's identity, for the trader had always smoked the same putrid weed. The older man's red-brown complexion was visible under the days of stubble across his broad face. His powerful build was unstooped by disease or age, and his trusty Armalite rifle was slung over his shoulder in a casual manner, but ready to be unlimbered and fired in an instant if needed. JB was glad to see him.
Hey, Trader, what brings you over?
Got something for you.
Trader reached into a coat pocket, his own long coat lined with even more hiding places than JB's scuffed leather jacket.
Found them back on War Wag 1. Thought you could use a pair.
He held out a small box covered in black felt, about the size of the palm of his hand. The hinged lid was closed. A golden line where top met bottom glinted in the sunlight.
Didn't have to do that.
JB wasn't a man who liked to owe favors, not even to the trader.
No, I didn't, but I did. Now, show some respect and say thank you.
Thanks? I think. What is it?
Go ahead. Open the box.
The armorer reached out and took the package, holding it in his left hand, while using a dirty fingernail of his right to flip open the top.
Dark night!
JB wasn't the sort to startle at a prank, but the trader had certainly put a scare into him with the contents of the innocuous little box. Inside the case were two human eyes, eyelids attached, severed at the optic nerves. One eye was light blue, the other nearly cobalt. Some stray drops of red had splattered on the interior pink lining of the box. Gory, yes, but what had elicited the bellow from JB was that both of the eyes shifted and peered up at him.
God damn it! What kind of shit are you trying to pull, traitor?
He looked up to find the larger man had miraculously vanished. JB slammed the small container shut, locking away the dismembered eyeballs and their twin puddles of goop. A small scrap of paper had fallen from the box when JB opened it. He leaned down and picked it up from the dirt. "I'll be keeping an eye out for you," the message read. JB wasn't amused.
"So, you ready to fly?"
The armorer turned to find the trader standing next to a skywag, a great wooden and canvas bird with bi-wings and single propeller.
"You like her?"
"No way. Get up in that thing, hit a hell wind, and it'll dump you out on your ass."
JB started walking away.
"Thanks for the present."
"Good day for flying. Not a cloud in the sky."
He was right. The sky was as open as a traveling gaudy's front door, and in JB's mind, about as uninviting. Trader suddenly appeared in front of the armorer.
"Step in, we'll go for a spin."
JB continued backing away.
"You're no pilot."
"The hell you say."
JB pushed against something. He spun, and damn if he wasn't seated in the plane now. The trader in the second seat behind him with the controls. And the sky went from sky blue to electric, crackling with lightning.
"You
tailwinds JB had mentioned came sweeping in, the upper atmosphere of much of the world permanently damaged in the nuclear battle between the superpowers. Trader stood in his seat and gave JB a two-fingered salute.
Guess we'd better bail!
Bail?
The trader pointed to his back.
Parachute! Insurance policy! That's pre-dark slang for covering your ass!
The big man leapt out, clearing the plane. Even as the craft began to shudder in the bucking winds, uncontrolled, JB peered down and watched the chute open, jerking the trader's hanging body in a spastic movement. The armorer reached into a pocket and took out a cigar, biting down hard on the end. Hell of a way to die. JB fell, plunging to his doom, surrounded by blue. Doc Tanner had started the Matrans jump with a clear mind and a level head. As far as he could determine, he wasn't dreaming. If he had been awake, he would undoubtedly have remarked on this as being most unusual. Traditionally, during a Matrans jaunt, Doc was cursed with Stygian nightmares of such dire calamities he could hardly withstand the mental assault. When he eventually returned to consciousness, his entire body always ached from thrashing on the floor of the chamber in semi-remembered agony. This time was different. This time, he was happy to note, he slumbered peacefully. Doc lay in a feather bed with a sweet-smelling pillow stuffed with fresh straw under his head, and a second one gripped in his hands. A smiling crescent moon shone down on him through an open bedroom window, and a gentle summer breeze wafted over his slumbering form, cooling him as he slept. Then he heard a voice, a woman's voice.
Emily?
No, Doc, it's Christy.
For a few brief seconds, Doc was confused. Was he in bed with another woman? All of a sudden, he feared for his marriage.
Howling calamities!
Right, Doc.
You must speak up. I cannot hear you.
Where's Lori?
But again, even with raising her voice and calling out as loudly as possible, Doc could barely hear her voice. The words were faint, as if she were standing far, far away, on a distant mountain peak, and calling into a valley.
What? What did you say?
Lori, where is she?
Christy was closer now. Doc could see her flushed face, smell her sweat. She had been running, or involved in some sort of physical activity. A guilty flash of lust crept through his loins, for after all, he was in his bedchamber and dressed only in a nightshirt, and one of the most ravishing and sexy women he'd ever laid eyes on was standing right next to his bed, wearing a skin-tight shirt and breathing heavily.
Snap out of it, Doc. Your mind's wandering again.
My apologies.
Where's Lori?
I do not know, my dear.
He felt ashamed of himself for looking at Christy in an impure manner, and eager to shift blame for his own feelings of guilt.
We got separated.
Well, she's a big girl now. Hope she can look after herself.
Christy punched Doc easily in the shoulder with a left jab, and then she turned, her long hair fanning out behind as she ran away from the coming storm, flashing softly on the horizon. The bedroom was gone. No walls, no windows. No smiling cartoon moon looking down. Doc was alone once more. And Doc was dreaming. Yes, a dream. Despite his earlier beliefs to the contrary, that was the only answer. Yes. Logic dictated his conscious mind was sleeping while his unconscious plundered his brain, skirting the damaged areas marked Do Not Enter and Condemned and Warning Danger for a change, and instead pulling out pieces of memory long in storage, kept there if needed, locked away if not. Lori, young Lori. Despite the dream Christie's assurances, Doc knew Lori wasn't a big girl. In fact, despite the strip queen body and the mounds of antagonism she routinely spouted, she was even more immature than young Dean. Dean had never met Lori. She had passed on before Doc made Ryan's son's acquaintance. So it goes. Damn the philosophy lesson and the code he knew he was trying to make sense of. Instead, he would try to deal with the stone-hard facts. Doc knew he was in the middle of a jump dream, his memories of the past unbottled and poured into his skull in a volatile mix, courtesy of the blender provided by the frightening forces of the Matrans experience. Ignore it, he finally decided. Go back to sleep. Doc closed his eyes and nodded his head, and was surprised to find his eyelids weren't functioning. Either that, for he could see right through them, since he was looking down at his hands instead of the back of his eyelids.
No, not mine.
For Doc was flabbergasted to find his hands were young again, and the veins were bold and purple, and the muscles underneath the taut skin were pulsating within